Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. It's so good to see you guys today. I hope everybody is doing good. If you haven't had a chance yet, could you greet your neighbor or somebody from across the aisle? It's great to be in the house of the Lord where we can all connect together as we come to worship Him. There's power in numbers, yes. So my name is Rachel Harris. I have the privilege of being your host here at the 98 campus. We want everybody to feel welcome just the way that you came today. Even if you might not be feeling okay, this is the right place for that. In fact, you are in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord accepts you as you are, and He has also told us that by you being here today, you are a gift from Him. We want to honor that, so if you take a look inside of your worship folder, you're going to find the connection card. Looks like this. If you haven't had a chance yet, please fill it out. Tell us a little bit about yourself, anything that you feel comfortable with sharing. If you're here regularly, just your name at the top is fine, unless any of your information has changed. If you have comments or prayer requests, you can put those on the back side. And if you're here visiting with us for the first time, we want to give you a special welcome. We're glad God put it in your hearts to come and join us this morning. And so we want to say good morning to those of you who are watching online on our website or on YouTube. We're so glad you guys can be here too. And if you go down to the comments, tell us where you're watching from because we love to hear from everybody. And if you click share with that simple gesture, you can help spread the gospel. And if you want to follow along with today's notes and our worship folder, that will be a PDF on our website on the homepage. Just click on it to download. So we are currently in our sermon series, Questions from Mark, and today Pastor Ray Angerman will be giving a message on Are You Willing? Before we get started, let's pray over today's message as we invite God into our worship. Heavenly Father, we just praise You for the gift of eternal life and just what Jesus has gone through and endured for us on that cross. So just show us, Lord, how we can mature as Christians and just keep improving our walk of faith and encouraging us to pick up our own crosses and just to carry on the work of Jesus. Just give us a steadfast trust in You no matter what battles we might be facing here. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we declare that our faithfulness to You will be strong. Keep our eyes fixed on You, Lord, You and You alone. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we all pray. Amen. Let's rise. Roberto's going to lead us in our worship.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh, God, You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You've been faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know You will do it again, for Your promise is yes and amen. You have done great things, God, You do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You free every captive. Break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive, break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here. We are so grateful that you are faithful. We know that you are here in our midst. And you're working and you're moving. We pray for the minds that need to be healed today. In this place, watching online and in this world, the bodies that are broken and hurting and have illness, we pray your healing hand on it. For families that are struggling, we just pray for them. We're right here, right now. We're just grateful that you're here in this room with us.
You are here, moving in our midst. We worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
I guess you heard the siren go by a moment ago. It's a fire truck, and the traffic's all backed up, and so we have this thing in my family. We pray for those people. My mic on? Can you hear me okay? Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Well, God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new day in which to learn about you and draw close to you in our worship, and we do pray for our medical workers, the fire department, all those involved. If there's an accident, Lord, only you know. That you be with those people and you keep them safe and rescue them. Pray for their safety of all who are involved in this. Thank you for bringing us into your house, oh Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, please. First off, thank you for being here. I'm Pastor Ray Angerman, and I'm like the associate pastor here, and it's my privilege to serve you this morning. My wife and I just got back from Texas, and it was we call it a road trip for a reason. Because all kinds of things. Ever been on a road trip and you pray before you go? And you're so glad you did and that the Lord protected us. All kinds of things happened. We ran into a hailstorm. We had to pull off for an hour. And all these cars are trying to huddle underneath the gas station and let the hail fall down. It was lightning. You know, I thought for a moment, I'm going to go into the gas station to go get something. Nope, no, you're not. The lightning was too vivid all around us. And so we just kind of waited the storm out. Got back on the road and didn't get too far down the road, and we ran into a construction zone, and there was a truck pulling a trailer, and he hit one of those big old orange barrels that are construction barrels. It went flying to the right, and he went off into the ditch to the left with his trailer bopping up and down, and we were like the first car after him. So that was kind of fun. And then when we got further into Texas, there was a stack of 18 wheeler trucks, the cabs. And you got one cab, not pulling a trailer, it's just the truck part of it. And he's got two stacked behind him. And so there was the truck pulling, and there's an 18-wheeler, and there's an 18-wheeler cab, and they're all kind of dragging each other. And the first one on his truck that he had loaded up didn't have tires in the back so they could fit without rubbing his tires. So we went through a construction zone, and the lane change, and when we did the lane change, we were on beside him, and there was a concrete wall beside us. So the 18-wheeler went too fast on the lane change, and when he tipped over his back, the second 18 that he cab he was carrying, there was no wheel on it, like I say, and the brake drum touched his back tire. And rubber was squealing, smoke was coming out, and I'm watching this, and Debbie couldn't go anywhere. And so the whole thing tilted like this, the 18-wheeler tilted. We're going like, oh my, it's going to fall on us. And he got righted as we came through that. And I went, all right, what else is going to happen? Well, it did. When we got to Houston, we got involved in a road race. It was four Mustangs doing over 100 plus miles per hour through traffic, racing each other. And I told Debbie, three of them passed us like we were standing still. I said, there's a fourth one. Don't move. Don't change lanes. Don't come around you. And they were road racing on I-10 going through Houston. So it was an adventurous trip. And I said, Lord, we prayed and you answered prayer. We didn't know what was coming. We didn't know any of this was coming, but we made it safely. I'm sure there were other things that we missed, but God is good, isn't he, all the time. So this morning, we're talking about questions, and I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, but before I do that, I have to ask you a question. When someone asks you to do something for you, how do you decide if you'll do it or not? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? In a lot of cases, you decide quickly, like, hey, can you bring me a pencil, please? And you'll go, yeah, no problem. Can you loan me $1,000? Well, yeah, maybe not so, okay. But we have the ability to say yes and no. But what's behind your decision? How do you reach a decision? Whenever it comes to asking someone, your brain, when someone asks you to do something, you say to yourself, do I want to do this and can I do this? For example, if someone has a two-story house and they say, can you clean out my gutters? I say no. I don't like heights, leaning over on the second story. And I say no, wisely. I say no. I would love to, but, okay, I can't. So that's the grid we use. Am I able? Am I willing? And when you ask someone to do something, a lot of times it comes to your mind those same two questions. Are they able to do this for me? And do I think they're willing to do it for me? Otherwise, you wouldn't ask them. In our reading today from Mark's Gospel this morning, we find a man who thinks in these categories of willing and able. He's a leper. And this man is in great need. And when we wait on a phone call for a diagnosis, we're nowadays it's the C word that's dreaded. Back then it was the L word that was dreaded, leprosy. And the Bible gives explicit instructions about someone diagnosed with leprosy. In your notes from Leviticus 13:45 through 46, it says this. The leprous person who has this disease shall wear torn clothes, let his hair of his head hang loose. Shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside of the camp. And when I read this, it reminded me of the COVID-19 lockdown. Remember that when we were all quarantined and couldn't go anywhere, couldn't go to church, couldn't go here or go there, and everybody kind of said, well, what business is necessarily to be opened and not opened? And if you're diagnosed with COVID-19, you remember this, you had to stay quarantined for at least, you know, so many days. A lot of times it was 10 days and wear a mask and stay in your house. And then you had to get retested to be sure you had a negative outcome. Let me take a moment to describe what leprosy is like. Let's start with the leper's condition. First, it's the physical effects. It begins with pain in the joints. Ever had pain in your joints? if I thought I had leprosy every time I had pain in my joints, I would be at the doctor every day. Pain in your joints. And then patches would appear on the skin, and the patches would grow into nodules, especially on the face. The nodules would disfigure your face, and some people became unrecognizable. Your eyebrows would be the first thing that would fall off your face. Your vocal cords would be covered with nodules, so your speech would be sometimes unbelievably hoarse and people couldn't understand you. because you had nodules on your vocal cords. That meant your breathing would be difficult because it would cut off your airway. And there would be a loss of feeling in your limbs, which was the worst part of it all, because if you touched something that was hot, you didn't know it was hot, you'd burn yourself and not know you had a burn. Or if you had a sprained ankle or a broken bone, you wouldn't know you had a sprained ankle or broken bone because you had no feeling. And that meant infection would come into your body. And leprosy was one of those things where pain is good, because then you know that you could do something about it. These are the only people I can think of that loved pain. You know, give me some pain so I know what's going on. And as bad as the physical effects of leprosy were, the social effects were even worse. In order to protect people, you heard that sick people were quarantined. They shall live alone in a dwelling outside the camp. And as you know, we are people, even from birth, when you're a baby, the moment you're born, you need to be touched. And babies that are in the hospital, the preemies, they're touched every day because we have that need to be touched, to be hugged, to be kissed. And it's so important that we sit across the table from one another and have dinner. It's not just the food, it's the social part of this whole thing, that we can see eye to eye and communicate with each other, with friends, to be together. But all that's gone for the leper. Anything they touch would be considered contaminated. And that means you can't go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. Being a leper was a horrible thing. It caused anxiety, anger, loss of self-esteem, and but it gets worse. The leper died alone. Most people are surrounded by their families when they die, but a leper dies alone. And that's this condition of this leper who came to Jesus. That's his future. And he comes to Jesus with this disease, and he says, B, the leper has this request or question. Now to our text. And a man with leprosy came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling down and saying to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. And he said, I'm willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. That statement, if you're willing, you can make me clean, is really a question. In fact, another translation says this. Jesus, are you willing to make me clean? Are you willing to make me clean, Jesus? So why did that leper ask Jesus such a question? I guess, why did he think Jesus may not be willing to heal him? Number one, the leper didn't question as to whether or not Jesus could do something, that Jesus could do something. It wasn't a question about unbelief. That was not his problem. Number two, he wasn't sure if Jesus was willing to do something. You see, the leper had faith. His problem was that he wasn't sure Jesus would want anything to do with him. You see, the Jewish priest never gave the lepers any mercy. Never came from a distance and said, what can I do for you? Can I pray for you? They didn't do that. They would ignore the lepers. And the lepers, throughout the years, were being avoided by people, ignored by people. They were having thrown stone at them. They were isolated, they were feeling unworthy. But the priest never did anything about it. You know, so often the church is looked at kind of like looking at those priests. Why aren't the Christians doing something about this or that? And I hear that people today sometimes blame Jesus for how his people act. But I'll tell you, sometimes we're such a bad example, aren't we? To the world. We are. But Jesus isn't like that. He's perfect in every way. And I'm sorry that we do fall short of the glory of God. But don't look at me and judge Jesus, okay? Because he's a perfect God. He can love you like I cannot. And that's who I point people to. And so this man probably comes to Jesus and he's thinking, you know, I'm pretty disgusting. Who'd want to be around me? I stink. I'm not worth anything. I'm not worthy. I know, Jesus, you have the power to make me clean. I understand if you don't want to. I'm not going to blame you if you don't want to make me clean. Sorry to bother you. I think I'll just go on home now. I'll go on my way now. I'm probably not worth your time, Jesus. Maybe that's you this morning. Sometimes you don't pray because you don't think Jesus wants to hear you. You're not worth his time. You know Jesus can do something about it, but you doubt he's willing to do anything about it. So you don't pray. Or maybe you know somebody that said this to you: if I go to church, the roof will fall in on me. You ever heard someone say that to you? They're feeling unworthy. And I say to you, bring them next week, because next week's story is about some friends who tore the roof off a house to get their friend to Jesus. And I wonder what the crowd must have been thinking when they saw this leper and Jesus in the same vicinity of each other. You can see it. Here's Jesus, here's the leper coming, and the people are probably covering their nose and their mouths not to breathe the same air as the leper. Some of them are probably looking for a stick or a rock or something to throw at this guy. Drive him away. Perhaps they were in stunned silence thinking, oh boy, this should be good. Jesus touches the leper. We're going to report it to the priest because Jesus will be unclean. Okay? Jesus will be unclean. Leprosy, you don't touch a leper. Yet Jesus reaches out and he touches him, and immediately his leprosy left him. Jesus healed the leper, the touch of his hand. Something that leper hadn't felt in years, probably. You know, I had a friend that was got into the Name It, Claim It theology. And there's some in this county, by the way, Name It, Claim It theology. And he told me that, you know, it's wrong to pray, Lord, if it is your will, heal me. That we should claim our healing and that we should demand from God to be healed. God, heal me, period. You better heal me, Lord. And I said, isn't that kind of arrogant? And I pointed out this healing, and I says, look at this man's posture. First thing he does, he gets on his knees. He goes down to his knees. He's not demanding anything of Jesus. He acknowledges that Jesus is sovereign. If you're willing, I'm not going to demand this of you, Jesus. And he also looks at Jesus, and he knew his power, that you can do this, Lord. I know you can. He had faith. And Jesus didn't rebuke him or tell him that he asked in the wrong way, that he ought to claim his healing. He heals him. In fact, you won't hear that in Scripture anywhere. In fact, I looked up James 4:13, and it says this: come you now who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Hey, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, the Lord wills, we will live and do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So that brings me to the number three point, that God doesn't always answer our prayers for healing in the affirmative. You know, there was a man that wrote the majority of the New Testament. His name is St. Paul. And St. Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this: three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. So what Paul understood was this. He said, you know, God could heal me, but he's not. It's not his will to heal me. And God wants me to learn to handle this thorn in my flesh by grace, and that I will do. Because later on he writes this in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. In other words, we know that all things happen to us, everything that happens to us working for our good, for those who love God, and it's fitting into his plans. Our lives are fitting into his plans. And Jesus himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And not as I will, but as you will. You know, I recently was visiting someone, and I saw a plaque on their wall. It might have been rude of me to say this, but I couldn't help myself. The plaque said, faith is not believing God can, but knowing that he will. Let me say that again. Faith is not believing God can, but knowing that he will. And I read that and I went, isn't it just the opposite? that faith is not believing God will, but knowing that God can. When Jesus walked on this earth, he didn't heal every sick person. It was not his will. That's not why he came. And sometimes when I pray, I think I envision a traffic light. And when you see a traffic light, if you envision this with me, it's kind of my children's object lesson. The first top light, what color? Is red, right? And I mean, sometimes God says no. God says no. Our Heavenly Father knows what's good for us, and he'll say no. And the center light is what color? Yellow. This is a driving test for all of you, okay? Yellow. Yellow is caution. You ever see a yellow blinking light? Caution means slow down sometimes, you know, like in the school zone or something. It means caution. Slow down. And the answer is in God's time. He's teaching you patience. Be still and know that he's God. But the answer is coming, so it's yellow. You didn't get a yes or no, you got a yellow. And then sometimes God's answers are green. I've had a lot of answers to prayers. Like our trip, I've got a lot of answers to prayers, and I thank God for it when he answers prayer the way I want his prayers, my prayers answered. But sometimes you get an arrow, which means God's going to send you in a different direction. Isn't that true? You'll ask God for something, he goes, well, I got something else for you. And the point is that God always answers our prayers according to his will. Why did Jesus heal the leper? Because it was his will. Because God wills for us good things. But what we think is good for us isn't always what God knows is good for us. And from my experience, there are times when I don't understand why God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to answer it. I didn't understand that. And then after a while, I get it. Something happens. I go, yes, now I understand. And there are things that to this day I don't know why it happened. You got things in your life like that? Why did that happen? We probably won't know until we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, we'll go, now I see it. I see it now. I see it. See why you said no, Lord. And I compare it to being a parent. Now, when you are a teenager, your parents say no, you don't understand it. Boy, you're upset. You're mad. You're throwing a temper tantrum. And your parent, you go to your room. Why can't I stay out till 3 a.m? Okay, so, you don't understand it. My parents said no. All the other kids' parents let them stay out till 3 a.m. Why can't I stay out till 3 a.m? Nothing happens that's good after midnight, okay? And as a child, you don't understand that. Then you become a parent, and then you tell your kids, because you know why. And then you start understanding stuff. And like I said earlier, Jesus didn't come to heal everybody. But his healings that he did do is a picture of our future resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come when we get a new body. We should pray for sick people. We should pray for God's healing, and it's right to pray for this. But understand that healings are temporary. Do you remember Lazarus? He had the ultimate healing. He was dead for 4 days. God raised him from the dead. Yay! Bad news, Lazarus had to die again. He didn't. I don't know how many years he lasted after that, but Lazarus had to go back down in the grave again. The real healing comes on the last day. We say it in the creed, the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That's what we're looking forward to. And when Job was walking on this earth, he said, I know for sure that after I die, my body turns to dust. In my flesh, I shall see God. I'll have a new body. And at the resurrection at the end times, Jesus will give all the redeemed imperishable, glorious bodies. Listen to this. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. We're looking for him. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, so they will be like his glorious body. Isn't that great? Looking forward to a full body transplant. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more diseases, no more C words. None of that. That's his promise and our hope. I look forward to that, don't you? That brings us to fill in the blank question, C. So what's God's main purpose for this healing of the leper? Mark 1:43. And he, Jesus, sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. You know, Jesus has compassion on this leper. He heals him. He restores him not only physically, but to his family, to his community, to the temple. But Jesus saw a greater purpose for this healing, a purpose that he intended to accomplish. It was to be a witness, to be, as he says, a testimony to the priests, that when this man came to them, they would be astonished. That's the leper. Remember the guy, the leper? Look at him. What are we going to do? And they would be going to the libraries and pulling off their scrolls and unrolling them and looking through them. What does this mean? There's never been anything like this since the days of Elijah. That was the last time a leper had been healed, the days of Elijah. And Jesus was giving them a chance to put two and two together to see who he was. Our Lord intended clearly this would be a sign that he was the Messiah, and everyone in Israel, especially the priests, knew that leprosy was a symbol of sin that led to death. And they knew that the only one who could had the power to cleanse the leper was the Messiah. And Jesus wanted them to have that aha moment. The Messiah is here. Isaiah predicted that when the Messiah came, he would do miracles. The eyes of the blind would be opened. The lame would leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb would sing. The lepers would be cleansed and healed. And when John the Baptist was imprisoned, his disciples came to him, and he says, "Go ask Jesus if he's the one, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus says, "Tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them." This is the only one who could do this is the Messiah. The healing is one of the signs that the Messiah had come, and the Lord wanted this to be a witness to the priest. The leper didn't do his job. He didn't do what Jesus told him, and this witness never happened. And as a result of the leper disobeying Jesus, Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but he stayed out in the unpopulated areas. Here's the good news. What this teaches us is that, number one, when Jesus freed the leper from his prison of isolation, he took his place. Now who's the outcast? Jesus is. And number two, Mark began the story with Jesus on the inside and the leper on the outside, but at the end of the story, Jesus is on the outside in unpopulated areas. In other words, Jesus traded places with the leper, which brings me to the point of the whole story in today's message. D, Jesus also traded places with us. Isn't that a beautiful insight? Can't help but think about our memory verse. Can y'all say this with me? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As bad as leprosy is, there's something even worse. Worse than leprosy. You see, when a leper died, guess what? His suffering was over. That was the end of his leprosy when he died. But this disease goes on for an eternity. It's the dreaded S disease called sin. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We not only know that from Scripture, we know that personally, don't we? We know our shortcomings. And like leprosy, this disease of sin affects us socially and physically. Socially, the Bible says it causes sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, and the list goes on. And we try to fix all this through therapy, maybe, and prescription drugs. If we can't do that, we just put them in jail. And you would think after all these years of trying to fix all that, we would make progress, but we haven't, have we? And physically, sin causes us to be sick, not only mentally, but physically. And the aging process, sin causes the aging process, and the consequences of sin is a decaying body. Dust you are, and dust you shall become, and one day it'll bring on physical death. That's what sin does to you. But worse off than that, sin makes you, does something to you spiritually. It separates you from God. Way worse than leprosy. Could separate you, God, from eternity. But the good news is this. Jesus traded places with us. He took our filthy, corrupt sin and exchanged it. We exchanged that for our complete forgiveness. Jesus said, though your sins be as red as scarlet, I wash them as white as snow. I throw them into a sea of forgetfulness where I remember them no more. As far as the east is from the west, he says. Isn't that good news? And it says in Hebrews that Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his own blood. And like a leper, Jesus died alone. He died so alone that he died alone without God, not only his family, but without God. That's why he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus healed the leper with the touch of his hand, and he healed us sinners when his hands were nailed to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus is the only one that could heal leprosy, the Messiah, and Jesus is the only one who can cleanse us from our sinful condition. And through faith, we have been cleansed. And people in Jesus' day overestimated the importance of physical healing. Oh, they want to be physically healed so bad. And they underestimated how much they needed spiritual healing. And because of this man's disobedience, huge crowds flocked to Jesus for physical healing. He couldn't even come into the cities. And the work of Jesus wasn't supposed to end with this leper's healing. It wasn't supposed to stop there. After Jesus heals the leper, he tells the leper, now go do your part. Go to the priest. Be a witness to them. And when we were born again, that wasn't the end. Jesus saved us from our sins, and he gives us eternal life. You know when your eternal life began is when you first believed. That's when your eternal life begins, not when you die. Did you know that? Your eternal life began when you believed. Not when you die. You're going to live forever. Isn't that great news? You're going to live forever. Your body may die. It's your tent. No big deal. But your spirit's going to live forever. Are you glad you've been forgiven? Are you glad you're going to live forever? Are you glad that one day you're going to meet all those people that went before you that believed in Jesus? Then share your joy. Get up every morning and say, I got another day to live for Jesus. I got another day to tell somebody about him. I got another day to tell somebody, don't miss heaven. You don't want to miss this. Jesus didn't call his followers to be separate from the world. He says, be in the world, but not of the world. We live in a world where sin and suffering and pain sometimes are contagious. So we stay away from it, don't we? Oh, here comes so-and-so. It's so depressing. I got other things I need to do. And we keep our distance. It may not be convenient or comfortable, but Jesus says, touch them. Touch the lepers. You can't wash the feet of people unless you touch them. And that's where we come in. Because we've heard the good news, because we received the gift of God's grace, we are able to say the good news. And what is it? What does John 3:16 say to us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So you know the answer. You know, at the end of the day, there's no greater accomplishment than witnessing to other people and telling them the good news. I read a quote years and years and years ago by William James. It must have been a class I took in college. I don't remember which one or which book. I think it was psychology. But this guy named William James wrote this. He says, there's no greater use of life than to spend it for something that will outlast it. Let me say that again. There's no greater use of life than to spend it for something that will outlast it. And I can't think of anything better to spend my life for than telling other people about the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus. And I find fulfillment in doing that, but God can use me to affect someone for eternity. That's a long time. You know, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, in some of the churches today, it's called Pentecost Sunday. That's why you see the red up here on the altar and the burn or the flames. I got my Pentecost shirt on. You like it? It's my tongue. It's all over. When the day of Pentecost came, Jesus fulfilled his promise. The disciples were filled with power. When you were brought into the church, when you were baptized, when you believed, the Holy Spirit filled you. Sometimes we leak and need to be refilled. But because the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and they obeyed Jesus' command, you're here this morning. You wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. If they would have failed in their mission, we wouldn't be here today. If you're willing, you can bring healing and wholeness by sharing the love of God in Christ Jesus. If you're willing, you can make an eternity's difference in people's lives. When I started this sermon, I said, I'd like to ask you to do something for me. And my question is your last fill in the blank. It's your turn. Are you willing? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us the truth of your word. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you that you have called us by faith, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to believe, to be witnesses. And Lord, we know that we have a mission as believers to tell others the truth about Jesus, their Savior. Father, again, fill us with your Holy Spirit this week. Help us not to be afraid to touch people, to reach out, to touch them with the good news of the gospel and the love that Jesus has for them. And Lord, we thank you that you're working mightily in Hope on the Beach and continue to use this church and these people, Father, as your instruments. In the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus was willing, even in his darkest hour, to take our place on the cross. And now he's giving us the opportunity to be willing to carry on his torch. I can't say every day, because I'm definitely not perfect. I pray for our trust and to have willing hearts to just grow in our faith every day. And some days, even when I pray, I fail miserably. But starting my day with that prayer and just inviting God into my day, maybe that's something that can help you too. And if you look inside of your worship folder, you're going to see that you have an offering envelope. Our offerings are one way that we can show God that we do trust him. We trust his plan for us. We trust in the provisions that he gives us that we then return to him for his glory. And that we have willing hearts. You can place your offering in here, or you can use our text to give number, or you can go to hopeonthebeach.com to give online. All of that is inside of your worship folder. And if you flip over the back of your connection card that you filled out this morning, you're going to see some ways to celebrate what God has done in your life. If this sermon has moved you today, if it has pricked your heart, you've got a QR code you can scan here that can lead you to some next steps, and you can also come and talk to our staff after the service because we would love to celebrate that with you and to pray over you and your victory. And we have some ways for you to grow in your personal relationship with Jesus here at Hope on the Beach Church, and that means connecting with others. So I definitely wanted to point out, which you can also see the schedule here on the back of your worship folder, that we are beginning our large life groups this week. We've been doing small life groups for a while now, but we're going to have our large life groups this week. And so on Tuesday, we begin that, and we will have dinner, and this is your way to blossom as a Christian. We truly cannot do it on our own. The Bible tells us that we need each other. So this is your place to grow. This is your place to belong, to strengthen your faith. And so if you'd like to join us, please check the back of your connection card. And if this time, if you'd like to place your offering envelope and your connection card in the offering plates on your respective side, you may do so, and we're going to continue our worship.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Would you please stand?